Shalom aleichem. For Parsha Korach, we Amir Hashem have five divrei Torah. The great machlok is the attack of Korach and his Eida, his followers, against Moshe, against Aharon, wanting to be the Kohen Gadol in place of Aharon, and in fact against HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. Just a little bit of background before we get into the five divrei Torah that we will Amir Hashem have. I saw a nice fort. We won't even count it as a number. It says Vayikach Korach. Rashi says Parsha Zo Yafa Nidreshes, etc. So he says this is nicely expounded. What does that mean? So I saw in the Sefer Chiyuchat Shel Torah, the smile of Torah. It says the rest of the Parshias in the Torah, somebody who wants to make drushas, who wants to exhort people to go in the proper way, they have to search a little bit for a connection to the Parsha, to make it in Yonah Diyoma, make it relevant to people's lives. However, this Parsha, Parshas Korach Yafa Nidreshes, this one is easy to connect to Inyana Yodiyoma, to connect to people's lives, because there's always a machlokes going on. Very relevant topics, machlokes, that is what Korach had with Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron, and the like. And in addition, how terrible machlokes is. We see that the punishment that Korach had and followers, Vaitiftach Haaretz as Piha, that the lands opened up, that they were swallowed alive. So we see here the great koach in the opposite of machlokes is achdus. When somebody is united, people are getting along, that is a very powerful thing, and how hated by a Kadosh Baruch Hu is machlokes. And we see two different times that we had doros, or we had groups of people that did terrible things, but their punishments were so dramatically different depending on whether they were getting along or whether they were not getting along. And the door Ahaflaga, that's the door of the degeneration, of the dispersion. They were building a tower to attack HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a terrible thing, horrific. But they got along, and accordingly, they didn't have the punishment of the land opening up and swallowing them, but rather they were simply sent into galos. Their languages were changed, they weren't able to communicate, and they sent out in different places in the world. And that was the punishment of the Odor of Kalaga. It could have been much worse, but they were getting along together. In contrast, when it came to Korach and his Eida, it was machlokes, and accordingly, their punishment was so much worse. They were involved in terrible machlokes, so they were swallowed up alive. Now we're going to go on to our first Dvar Torah, on the very first pasuk in the Torah, in the Parsha, Vayikach Korach. There's an enigmatic, puzzling medrash that is tough to understand. The medrash says, what was the motivation? What is the inspiration that Korach had in order to attack Moshe Rabbeinu? He saw the Parsha of Para Aduma, the red heifer. What's the red heifer? That you burn the red heifer, you add various ingredients, and when it is spritzed, they add water. When you sprinkle it on people who are Tameim, they come Tahorim. So in fact, the Mefarshim, the commentators, have had a difficult time explaining this medrash, and I saw in the Tam V'Das an explanation based on the Baal Shem Tov. And he says as follows, as part of the ingredients in making the ash of the Para Aduma to sprinkle on people who are Tameim, who are impure, two of the critical ingredients were cedar wood, that's called Eitz Eris, cedar wood, very strong, tall, imposing trees, and number two is azov, which is hyssop, a wild shrub, very lowly wild shrub. So those are two critical ingredients in making the ash of the Para Aduma, and they represent two very different things. When it comes to the cedar, it represents gaiva, arrogance, strength, arrogance, full of myself. And when it comes to the hyssop, it represents the opposite, shiflus, shvelus, lowliness, being very humble. And truth be told, people, individuals need both of these characteristics. We need both of these midos. And how is that going to work? How do you have both of them? When somebody is down and out, when he's having a difficult time in his avodas Hashem, he has to know that he can move up. He can improve. Tzarek lag bialibo. He has to inspire his heart, bedarkei Hashem, in the ways of Hashem. And he shouldn't say, who am I? What can I accomplish? He should not have yeush in his heart saying, I'm never going to get anywhere. And accordingly, he should look up And he should have a little bit gaiva. He can should have optimism and say, the cedar tree, I need to get up that tree. I need to accomplish. So he needs to have that characteristic. However, once he starts accomplishing, once he starts going up the rungs, at that point he needs to distance himself from any form of gaiva. He needs to distance himself from arrogance. His model is no longer going to be the cedar tree, but he has to have humbleness, humility, and his example should be the hyssop. Let me look at that, despite the fact that I am going to continue trying to go up the rungs, but I shouldn't think I'm great because of it. I shouldn't say I'm like a cedar tree. I need to distance myself. I need to go in the direction of the hyssop. And those two concepts are what are reflected in the Parah Adum and the Red Heifer, that both of those are in ingredients. And this is the remez in the mitzvah of the Parah Adum, Shekol Ot Adam B'tumah. So when somebody is Tameh, when somebody is down and out, he is impure, he can improve, he can purify himself, he needs to go up, and he needs to raise himself up, he needs a little bit gaiva. In other words, when you're down and out, you need to elevate yourself, but once you become pure, you need to get rid of that gaiva, and you need to lower yourself a little bit. That's what the Baal Shem Tov says. So let's wrap this up, let's apply this to what Korach is thinking. He saw the Parsha, a Parah Adum, and that is what motivated him, that's what inspired him, in order to challenge and attack Moshe Rabbeinu. And it says as follows in the Tam Vadas of Rav Moshe Sternbach, Zagami Shadain Lo Zakav Lo Higil Ma'alat Kedosh Elyon. Even somebody who has not reached the highest of heights, they're not the Gadol Ador, they're not the Moshe Rabbeinu, but they should always make efforts to go higher and higher. Ubegodol Hishtokekuso, the Hidamas, the Moshe Va'aron, and in Korach's desire, and his followers as well, in their desire to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, to be similar, to copy, to even exceed Moshe and Aaron, he made a mistake. He made a terrible mistake because he thought if he were to be appointed the Kohen Gadol, he had this gaiva of the cedar, if I'm going to be appointed as the Kohen Gadol, I'm going to be just like them. I'm going to be on the same level. So in fact, he's learning from the Parah Adumah. He learned from the Parah Adumah that if you want to rise, and I want to rise, I want to be in their place, I need to strive. But he took it to an extreme. He took it to extreme. The message of the Parah Adumah is very important. When you want to rise, you need to go for it. You need to look at the cedar tree. But he forgot that you also have to temper that by looking at the hyssop as well. He overestimated itself, and he didn't understand that balance in life is absolutely critical. There are indeed, to globalize this concept, there are times to stand up, there are times to assert, there are times to push and to rise, but there are also times to refrain, to slow down. And that balance has to be very delicate, and he didn't have that balance. He was only trying to push and get ahead, but he didn't realize, don't only focus on the cedar tree, you have to focus on the hyssop as well. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 2. It says that the claim of Korach is Eidah's congregation, Rav Lechem, you Moshe Rabbeinu Aaron, you've taken too much power for yourselves. Kulam Kedoshim, we are all holy people. Why should you be leading Klal Yisrael? We should be leaning in your place. And it says as follows in Perek Tassayin Pasuk Dalet, Vayishma Moshe Vayipol Al Panav. Moshe heard what was going on, the silly claims that they were making, and he fell on his face. And one of the Chachmei Musar asked the following question. There had been a number of attacks, a number of complaints of Klal Yisrael, and in none of them did it say that Moshe fell flat on his face to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why only here does he fall on his face, but not another time? So it goes as follows, when people are going to make a complaint, they're going to start announcing, and they're going to make claims and criticisms, everyone is holy, everyone has the status. Why are you any special, Moshe Rabbeinu? Why are you any special Aaron? That's when Moshe says, there is nothing to talk about. He fell on, he couldn't believe it. Shechein mi kamo yodeh, who is like Moshe Rabbeinu? How difficult it is to raise in Kedusha, to hire yourself, to raise yourself up in Kedusha. He had worked so hard in his Kedusha. Now you have people making the claim, we're all the same, we're all on the same level of Kedusha, and Moshe Rabbeinu just fell. He couldn't. He just couldn't continue because to make such a claim, such a silly claim that we're all on the same level of Kedusha. It's so, really, there's no one to talk to here. Moving forward to number three, Dvar Torah number three, same Pasuk, Vayishma Moshe. It says in the Pasuk, Vayishma Moshe, Vayipol al panav. Moshe heard what was going on. He fell on his face. So the Ramban points out that it doesn't say Vayiplu, that both Moshe and Aaron fell on their faces, but it just says that Moshe fell on his face. Moshe fell on his face. So the Ramban says as follows, Vayiplu, ki Aaron b'mosro u'b'kedusha, so lo ana al davar b'chol ha'machlokes. Here, Aaron is being very, very quiet. So Aaron is not speaking up. He is just being silent when this machlokes is going on. Vayikamachrish, silent. As if he's acknowledging, as if he's agreeing on the great mile of Korach. Korach, yeah, you're even on a higher level than I am. Aaron is not speaking. I'm just doing it. He's not saying anything as if it's Moshe has told me to be the Kohen Gadol. I'm being Mekayim the Gzeira, the decree of the Melech, of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why I'm here. So he's not fighting. He's not fighting, but certainly if I even acknowledging, maybe you're right that I shouldn't be the Kohen Gadol. I am just following along with what Moshe Rabbeinu wants. And it's a little bit difficult to understand. This is from the Dam Vadas, from Moshe Sternbach. He says, we're praising here, Aaron, that he's being quiet, he's silent, he's not fighting for his position, but truth be told, Korach is doing something wrong. And when somebody does something wrong, we have to get up and be mocha. We have to say no. We have to tell them you're doing the wrong thing and fight for what's right. We have to stick up. This is kfira. This is kfira against the desires of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, what Korach is doing. So why is Aaron being quiet? Why is he being silent? And in fact, it's viewed as praiseworthy that he's being silent. Why is it only Moshe that is Vayishmosha Moshe Vayipolapanav? It's only Moshe that is falling and not Aaron. What's going on here? So he responds as follows, Omnam Mikan Niresh Agam B'machlokes B'milchemes Kinas Hashem. It appears from here that even when you have a war, a milchama, that is in the kin of Hashem, you're doing the right thing to fight back. Ein latzeis b'milchama b'lo shum cheshbon. Don't automatically, when you do something, see somebody doing something wrong and terribly wrong, don't automatically go fight that individual without thinking. You need to analyze, should I act? And if I should act, how should I act? And Aaron did that analysis. He didn't just get up and say, rebuke them, you're doing wrong, but rather he made a proper analysis, should I get involved? Should I say something? Should I not say something? And his decision was, in order to do the proper thing, to increase Kvod Shamayim, to increase Kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the best thing that he could do in this situation is to sit back and be silent. And leave it to Moshe Rabbeinu alone to fight the fight against Korach in this situation. And certainly Aaron wanted to say something against Korach, but he decided this is not the proper time. This is a very interesting situation here, interesting lesson here, that even though we see somebody who's definitively doing something wrong, it does not mean that we should get involved and say, you are doing something wrong. Don't go to war automatically. You may need to make an analysis. And we also see fascinating, the same incident is going on here. Moshe and Aaron are involved in the same incident. Moshe gets involved and Aaron does not get involved. And we see here that you need to make an analysis. What's going to increase Kvod Shamayim? And the decision was Moshe Rabbeinu involvement, absolutely, that's going to increase Kvod Shamayim. But Aaron getting involved, that's not going to increase. Why? It's going to look like he's just fighting for his own job. That will look terrible. Let Moshe handle it. And Aaron sat back. Fascinating situation. We need to make an analysis. Even when people are doing something wrong, there are times to get involved, and there are times to not get involved. Moving forward to Dvar Torah number four, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Al Teifen El Minchasam, it was decided that the next day, each of the sides in the Machlokes, Korach, Zeta, they're going to bring an offering, a Ketores, an incense offering, and Aaron is going to bring a Ketores offering, Moshe, Aaron, the group together is going to bring a Ketores offering, And here Moshe Rabbeinu says, tomorrow, Kadosh Baruch Hu, when this offering is brought, don't accept their offering. Now he says an interesting, Al Tefen El Min Chasam, don't take their flour offering. It's really going to be a Ketores offering. It's going to be an incense offering. That's what Rashi says, Lefib Shuto. It's a Ketores that they're going to be bringing. The Targum says the Korban they're going to be bringing. But it's interesting here that the Pasuk said specifically the Mincha, the flour offering that they are going to be bringing. So why is that? Why is it referred to a Korban Mincha here? What does that represent? Korach really know. Korach and his crew, they know that Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They know that Moshe Rabbeinu speaks directly, panim al panim, with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They got rocked on Nasa myself. So what is the real claim against them if they know Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen? They are saying that we are really on the same level of Moshe Rabbeinu. We're on the same level. It's just Moshe Rabbeinu was given a free gift by God. That's his benefit, that God chose him, but for no reason, because we happen to be on the same level of Kedusha. And if God would as well give us that gift, if he would speak to me, says Korach, I'd be on the same level as Moshe. Intrinsically, we're the same. What elevates him? That God speaks with him. But if God would speak with me, it would be the same. It would be the same. I'd be on the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu. And so what's the concept of the Mincha? What does this represent? So himinei, b'menachos matzinu. When it comes to the Korban Mincha, when somebody is wealthy, they have to bring a korban. When they're wealthy, they have to bring an offering from an animal. But somebody else who is not wealthy, who is poor, can't afford to bring the larger, more expensive animal offering, is going to bring a korban mincha. It's going to bring a for the same problem, for the same issue, for the same reason of bringing the korban, he's going to bring a korban mincha, which is a flour offering. And Chazal tell us, Echad Amarbe, the Echad Hamamit, Ubivat Shiachaven Es Libola Shabaim. Whether you bring a lot or whether you bring a little, what is God looking for? He's not looking, did you contribute a lot, a little? Was your korban big? Was it small? Was it a full animal? Was it a korban mincha, an offering from flour? God wants to know that we're giving our hearts to him. That's Ubilvad Shichavin Eslibola Shabam, where our heart's in the right place. And accordingly, when you have somebody who can't afford to bring the big korban, he can be Yotze. Just like a wealthy person, he brings the expensive one, the poor person brings the less expensive, but God looks at the Mesiris Nefesh. The effort that we put in, that's what God looks at. It. What's easy for or a little bit difficult for a wealthy person is going to be equally difficult for somebody who is poor to bring a lot less expensive korban. It's going to be the same as Siris Nefesh. A wealthy person brings something expensive. A poor person brings something that's not expensive. But for each of them, that's the requisite Mesiris Nefesh. And God looks at that Mesiris Nefesh, the effort that we put in, that we're focusing on it, we're doing what we can. That is what God wants to know. So accordingly, what's Korach thinking? When it's a Korban Mincha, Shetizkabal Avodas Amlefanaka Minchas Ani, he's thinking that, God, this is going to be like a Korban Mincha, that you should accept it. I'm trying to do the best I can. I'm bringing what I can. And just like you take the Korban of somebody who is poor, he brings a Korban Mincha, so too you should accept my korban as well. That's what is going on. That's what it's called. Al tefen el min chasam. Theirs is not going to be as good, says Moshe Rabbeinu. But they're thinking, as long as I have the right kavana, I'm going to bring something, and God should accept it, just like as if I'm a poor person bringing a korban mincha. Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't accept a mincha, even though it's a ketores, an incense offering. Don't treat it like a mincha, that even though it's on a lower level, you can accept it. It should not be accepted as all, even as a korban mincha, it shouldn't be accepted. Why? Because they have to know that it was Aharon that was chosen and not them. And that's going to be the message. Don't accept it whatsoever, whether it's a big one, a small one, their kavanas are not right. Their kavanas are not the chaven libo shabashamayim. And accordingly, that's why their ketorah shouldn't be accepted even as a korban mincha. And last of our Torah, number 5, we have another proof in this parsha of Aharon's greatness, that he was the chosen to be the Kohen Gadol. It says as follows, we're now in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Chav Gimel, that Moshe Rabbeinu requested each of the Shvatim, each of the tribes, to give a staff engraved with their name, and they would leave it in the Mishkan. They would leave it in front of the Aron, and overnight they'll see what happened. And it says, fascinating, the pasuk says, Vayetze Perach, Vayetzetz Tzitz, Vayigomel Shkedim. So there's a process here, it says. It's not that they pulled the staffs out overnight and saw that Aharon's staff had grown almonds, but rather there's a process here. They blossomed, and they sprouted a bud, and the almonds ripen. There's a real process going on here. So we see as follows, says the Tam B'das, Nidbar She'amate Parach V'atzitzitz V'atzitzkeden. This Klal Yisrael saw all of this. It's not that it happened overnight and they didn't see it. But truth be told, they didn't have to see this whole process. They could have just been, and in the end of the day, see the consequence, the result. You pull out all the staffs, and none of them have any growths on them, and only the one that's labeled Levi, the one that was Aaron's, representing his shevet, that's the one that had the shkedim, the full-blown almonds. But that's not what happened. They were pulled out, and it was they saw the whole process. The blossoming, the flowers on it, sprouting a bud, almonds ripening. So what's the message to them and to us? And the message to them was that the Kedusha of Aaron, it did not just come overnight immediately. That's not what happened. Aaron was chosen, he became the Kohen Gadol, he became Kadosh. That's not what happened, but rather as represented, as symbolized by the staff, it happened in a process, and it went over time. And first, it starts small. It starts with a little flower and a blossoming, and then it becomes a blood, and then a bud, and then it becomes a ripened almond. There's a process to growth. Growth requires a process. It doesn't happen overnight. And the same thing happened with Aaron HaKohen, that it just didn't happen. He became the Kohen overnight. He was appointed. He became this great Kohen Gadol without any effort. But it's our recurring theme that to achieve something in life, especially spirituality, it takes growth. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes going up the ladder, step by step, and that's what represented here by the sequencing of small, larger growth until you become the Kohen Gadol. And that was the message to Korach. Korach, you think you're appointed. You're going to become the Kohen Gadol? You're going to become an Aaron? It doesn't work that way. It's a process of growth and effort, tremendous effort. My Chavrusa, Yosef Rubin, reminded me the story about Rav Shachter during, Rav Herschel Shachter, during Corona. So many new, difficult questions were coming to him from all over the place, and he was able to answer them. He didn't have to be looking. I'm sure he researched also, but he was able to answer without having to research all the time. He knew it. He was ready. He was ready for the challenges of Corona, even though this was something that was brand new. And his son, Rav Shai Shachter, said, somebody asked Rav Shai Shachter, the son, and they said, how is your father able to answer these questions? Such new, innovative, difficult questions he's being asked, and he's as if he's prepared for it. And the answer was, he's been working on it. He's been preparing his entire life. He's been preparing 80 years for this. And that's the same concept. To get somewhere, it's not overnight. It takes preparation. It takes time. It takes effort. It's a process. And that's what we see, this message from the staff. It's a long process. He also told me there was an entrepreneur that was speaking about how he became successful. And people think he was an overnight success. And his response was, it took 20 years to become an overnight success. People think things happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. Everything, if you want to accomplish anything big and great, it takes a lot of time and effort in order to get there. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.